Something we don't talk about a lot of here is mental health. It's important. Luckily, our buddy Mikey does talk about it on his podcast, Mikey on Mute.
All right, listen up, guys. Let's talk about the uncomfortable things. No, I'm not talking about your bathroom troubles or relationship advice. I'm talking about mental health. For too long, society has taught us to man up and be quiet about what's bothering us. My name is Mikey, and for the longest time, I was on mute when it came to talking about mental health issues. I'm here to tell you about my mental health journey and talk about others and get their perspective. Let's have an open, raw conversation and break the stigma that toxic masculinity has taught us. Let's make talking about mental health less taboo and normalize reaching out for help. Check out my podcast, Mikey on Mute, available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. Together, we can make mental health a normal conversation topic and break what's holding us back. Check me out on Instagram at Mikey_on_mute_podcast for show clips and much more.
The time of mountain mania is approaching. May 1st through May 4th at Burke Mountain Hotel and Conference Center in East Burke, Vermont. Get there, play games with us, watch us play our game, and have fun with games. Find out details at fantasypants.co.
You're not gonna believe this. Another Maenerys spotlight! Today I want to tell a thrilling tale of Varen Zaris, a.k.a. the Mage of the Mountain Wind. Now, Varen grew up in the everwind whipped world of Arnakek, his village protected from the constant gale by a rare mountain in the tundra world. And this lone mountain served as more than just a buffer for the wind, for it was also the home of his village's protector, a silver dragon known as the Father of the Mountain, who had come to love those that loved lived beneath its wing. It was said that those chosen among Varen's people would hike to the summit of the mountain to the dragon's lair upon their 18th birthday. Would be granted a great boon. A legend that was proven true when Varen himself met with the Great Father who was gifted the boon of its strange and special blood, a single drop to drink. Accepting this gift, Varen fell into a deep slumber. And when he awoke, he found that silver scales now adorned his body, and magic ran through his veins. Varen returned to his village and began to practice with his newfound power, gaining a solid mastery of the ice element. He donned a robe of blue over his pale red skin, and formed for himself a staff of never-melting ice. But some years after his meeting with the Father, tragedy struck. A group of snake-eater poachers, fascinated by tales of the dragon's blood and hungry for its meat, made their own journey up the mountain slopes. Led by the cunning and nefarious Guy Safari, the group came upon the dragon with an assortment of trips and tracks. A battle raged, and with a final cry, the Father was slain. Hearing this cry, Varen rushed back to the summit but found only tragedy. Meatless, bloodless bones were all the remain of his village's protector. And so, Varen Zaris left his village and his world behind and set out on a quest for vengeance. Now, years have passed since that fateful day, and Guy Safari, from what we've heard, has recently met his end at the hands of some less honorable excuses for luminaries. But Varen Zaris still quests throughout our world, saving good lives and hunting down others, though at poach in pursuit of profit and power.
What?
Thank you, that... Oliver, a.k.a. Scipio Africanus.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Dude, that's tragic.
It's tragic. It's brutal.
That's brutal. Dude, but
Guy Safari was a monster.
A staff of never in melting ice, though, is really cool.
It's really cool. It's really cool. That was an awesome touch that he put in there. Yes, this is actually this whole thing, this character is relatively a fun bit we have in the Discord right now. It's been going on for a little bit where we've been talking. We realized that both Rory King and Rieta the Devilfish / Sandy Sorceress are tiefling or draconic sorcerers, both with emphasis on different primary elements. You know, Rieta is all about the lightning, being on a ship. Rory is all about the fire. And so Scipio came up with the idea of adding an ice-based draconic tiefling into the world. So we're building up the team of tiefling Power Rangers. Which is pretty fun. Yeah, it's pretty fun.
Yeah, it's nice. Awesome.
We may actually have another one coming up soon.
Oh, really?
Yes, we may have another Tiefling Power Ranger coming up soon. Yeah, it's pretty fun. Pretty fun.
So join the Discord, change the world.
Change the world. Become a Power Ranger.
It's kind of like from your show.
Yeah.
Heroes? Save the cheerleader, save the world, or something like that.
Yeah, I get it. Just drop save the world and like, boom, it's a Heroes reference. we should all watch Heroes sometime.
Nah.
I watched the first season.
First season's great.
First season was great.
After that, it gets crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I watched up until about the guy said, save the cheerleader, save the world.
Well, that was the good part.
I mean, I remember it all these years later. But yeah, now I every time I think of that, I'm going to think, join the Discord, change the world.
It's going to change the world.
If the next words out of your mouth aren't the words that Blanche wrote in her spell book,
yeah,
then I'm going to throw this dice tower at you. It's big and heavy.
It's going to be another goddamn flashback.
All right. Okay. You know what? Hey. You want to know what was written in that book? You want to know what's in that book?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I'll tell you what's in that book. A familiar world greets our eyes. Danitu. A world of lush forests built of towering trees. We see a civilization constructed in branches, bridges and steps forming paths between settlements and homes. Yeah, I tricked you. I tricked you! Yeah, throw it at me! Come on! Nestled into the forest canopy like nests of colossal birds. Before all of this, at the forefront of our mind's camera shot, we see a thick lower branch extended across the screen and two figures resting upon it. A large built man and a deceptively small woman, both looking to be in their middle-aged years. Zebulon and Shole taking in the sights. The myriad shades of green that fill this region of the forest, specked with blue, blooming flowers, and pink plumed birds. All of this surrounding a bustling, joyful civilization of elves and Arakokra, mingling with a wide assortment of world-hopping travelers, a party of heroes on a quest. A party that has both gained and lost so many faces in the last few years. And over this shot, a title card appears. 254 years ago. Upon their branch, Zebulon stretches out, wide, giving way to a casual yawn. It's incredible, isn't it? An entire settlement built into the branches. 10 worlds in, and I still don't think I'll ever stop being amazed by it all. You know, they only live this way because of the otherworldly predators that hunt the forest floor. The trees give them some ability to stop and to repel horrific monstrosities. Really, this entire settlement is an acknowledgement of tragedy suffered and lessons hard learned. It would only get worse if we don't connect these worlds. The villain kind of just shrinks down a little bit, kind of his party pooped on. his party. Deflates, that's better. he party poops down.
Oh, well, yeah, there's that. Still, I mean, it's kind of pretty right now, though, right? In this moment?
Shelly just shakes her head. I don't know how you do that. Stay so positive when we've lost so many. Raylan, just yesterday.
Well, death comes for us all eventually. I've made my peace with that. We carry on and honor the lost and appreciate beautiful things in their stead.
He turns his eyes over to Sholei, sitting his gaze in her and shooting her a playful wink. There's a long pause, Sholei's eyes lingering on Zebulon, and then she turns away. Her face becomes like iron, features hard and cold. It will be you soon enough.
Nonsense. I'm as tough as they come. I'll be by his side through it all.
And even if you are, you will in total live a paltry 80 years or so, Zebulon. You're well over halfway to the grave already.
And Zebulon's mouth sort of widens into a mischievous grin, actually. Just, why, Miss Sholei Brass, I'm starting to think you've become a little fond of me.
So he just winces, her mouth sets firmer, and we see Zebulon sort of rub the back of his neck, deflating once again.
I'm sorry. I imagine that to you, the lives of us humans are like, kind of looks around, campfires.
right? A fine comfort, sure, but long gone comes sunrise. Now, I can't promise you that I won't burn away, but I can promise to burn so hot and so bright that even a brass dragon can feel my heat. So maybe you could take a page out of a silly human's book and appreciate this. Right here. Right now. Shelley's eyes do not leave. Just that forward view.
You are so short-lived. You can't understand. It is difficult not to think about the future. To know that once the fire at your side burns out, you'll only feel colder for having appreciated it at all. I don't want to be cold again.
And Zebulon just looks at all of the view, letting the words sink in, letting his own expression fall. And in the silence, we see his features set. A nod. A deep breath. He turns back to Sholi and presses a hand over hers.
You won't be cold. I won't let you. Even after I die. I won't let you.
She looks to him, looks into eyes filled to the brim with warmth and passion. She sits frozen as Zebulon cups her face. And they kiss. And we're back.
That was really cute.
Yeah.
You know what's less cute? Hoang Jun-soon all over your shoes, all over your lower body, just gore all around.
David,
you know what's cute
sick.
Is the gashes taken out of you, Blanche, out of Chester, out of Akio, Jules. I mean, even you got struck pretty well. All of you look rough, blood dripping, leaking onto the ground, mingling with the mud, covering these animal prints that surround you. There are claw marks all over your bodies. But Blanche, you are not concerned with that right now because you have left yourself a note that you do not remember leaving. And to know how much you managed to write down in the moments before this ended, I would like a sleight of hand roll.
Okay. I can do that.
Just a heads up, we're still recording this. I don't know if this got into the first episode. You can cut this if it's not.
It hasn't.
So
it didn't.
It didn't. Okay. Discord thing. Yeah. I can't open
half of that discussion was off mic. Okay. And also it only came up that one time where we had half the discussion off mic. And,
hell yeah. Okay. Yeah. I can't close it. I don't know what's going on. I cannot open Discord or close it. It's making me insane.
Man, it's so weird that we have such an active Discord that it's disrupting the show. Join the Discord. Ruin the episode.
This might... I was going to make it into the app, but now it's got to be. Sorry, Jeremy, make it happen.
All right. I'm giving you a button for this roll.
Oh, this trash-ass computer.
I really need
trash-ass
this.
Trash-ass computer. I'll give you 2 buttons. You buy me a new computer. Or smash this one.
Okay, that's good. 18
ooh,
first.
Ooh.
Wow. 2 14s in a row, so 18.
18's pretty good.
That's like 36, right?
What? Your book in ink written in blood in a very fast shorthand, you see 8 tigers, comma NW, and then below that voice, then below that in quotes, I was a hero, celebrated and loved. You forgot me. I did, and this is where the words cut off, where your hand holds the quill caught mid-sentence, when whatever happened, happened.
Kunanjun, stand up. Jules, look at this.
What
the fuck is that?
What's going on? Why? Where's Hwang Jun-soon? No.
Blanche holds out her... She's dead. I'm sorry.
It happened
But
again.
I found this.
How did it happen again? How did this happen again? It shouldn't have happened again.
The voice, read this. What does this mean to you?
What? He reads it over. Nothing. It doesn't mean anything. Did you write that? You wrote that?
I must have. When I came to, the quill and the book were both in my hands. This is my writing. I must have wrote us a note during the blackout.
She's dead.
Looking down at the body, what's left of the body.
Who else is on this job site?
Looking around, and you actually look around and you see that other people there. A few of them are just kind of like standing up, looking around. A lot of them have tools in hand. Some tools have blood on them. And you see like a few bodies. Probably from where you're seeing now, there's 2. People start screaming, ah, 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 as they look down, see their comrades are just gone again, just torn to pieces.
Blanche points at whichever worker is closest to her. You, man.
What?
Keep it together. Do you have first aid on this worksite?
Yes. Yeah, we've got a few kits.
Grab two men. Go get everything you can carry.
All right, come on. And they start running, just following your orders.
And Blanche is running around, trying to triage whoever's alive.
Hell yeah. Let's see how it goes. Give me a medicine check.
17.
Pretty good. And there's a few people who like have large gashes. You're able to kind of cover them up. You have like some things you can find for it as an antiseptic. I think someone goes running out into the woods to grab some natural remedies that are close by, bringing them back, and you're able to sort of rub them on the bodies, keep people alive.
Trying to stop blood or bleeding, you know, tourniquets, whatever she can do.
And you think in this moment, this didn't just happen here. You know, you'd think help would arrive soon, but this probably happened at the palace too. Did it happen at the gate? I mean, before it happened at multiple places, right? You know it happened here when you were at the gate.
We at least can assume that there aren't tigers throughout the rest of the cities. We're guessing the tigers were here.
The wounds you've taken look different than the first time.
Yeah.
These were different things. Though the first time you did not know to leave a note.
Mm-hmm.
As you're kind of fixing bodies, I think you see Kunan Jun's beside you, Jules, just you. You were protecting me. Thank you. You saved my life, didn't you? I don't even remember you doing it, but you saved my life. All of you saved.
We've got to trust each other.
This is worse than I ever thought it could have been. When we're done here, you need to see something. Just ow! Blanche, too tight, too tight!
Hey, are there any health potions left in that first aid kit?
Roll a die about it.
Disadvantage, because it's already a thing that happened earlier. I said there were two people injured. It's not like there's going to be more horse potions. I've got one basic! Runs over, hands you a basic potion. All hey, right. It's nothing.
Yeah, no. It's definitely good.
Just grabs it. All right, well, nice, thanks. Bottoms up!
I was just going to say, I've got heals.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, this will help, too.
I mean, yeah, it'll help. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is don't have to burn up a bunch of slots.
For reasonable
basics, 1d4 plus 1 plus...
I think it's plus 2.
Plus 2, yeah, d4 plus 2, I think.
No, potion healing has 2d4 plus 2.
Oh, 2d4.
I'll give it to you, since I stole all your agency in combats. Just kind of a big ask for a DM. Yeah.
So that's just 6 back.
Okay. Hey, no, it's nothing.
How much are you down?
It's not nothing.
I am half, just over halfway. I'm at 26 out of 50.
Shit.
Yeah. Akio is as bad. He's 29 out of 53.
That happened twice. What's the chance it could happen a third time?
Yeah.
Come on. What are the chances?
I'm going to burn 2 slots, on one for you and one for Akio.
Cool.
I think cure wounds. So 1 and 2. So here's for you. Almost max. 7 on the die plus 4. So that's another 11.
Ooh, hell yeah.
Yeah, that's
and then for Akio.
Oh, are you going to pet me with your glowing hand?
Akio is only 8 total.
Oh, okay. It still feels really good.
Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you, Jules. Yo, Jules.
Of course, buddy.
Bought your buddy.
Jesus Christ.
Didn't you want to get...
Don't make me burn slots, man.
You should bet on your slots.
Don't make me burn slots.
You're merely scratched, Chester. Come here.
Yeah, chill the fuck out.
And Blanche rubs some dirt.
Ow!
Or she slaps it.
Complain to me again when you're
good.
At half.
Hey, no, we're done. We're done. No more complaining.
Once you hit half, then we'll do something about it.
Ten tigers from the northwest did all this.
8.
8? Oh, I thought you said 10.
That's right.
I'm almost positive you said 10.
Is it 10? You know what? There's 8 facing you, 2 more that went the other stuff. So 10's fine. I don't care. I don't care. You know, I actually should tell you what I'm doing with these things. I think I'll let you in on the behind the screen a little bit. I'll be
sure. Okay.
So when we make these rolls, what I'm doing is based on your D100 roll, effectively I'm going to play out quick play out rounds of combat by round, right? So depending on your roll, that's how many rounds happen and how many rounds of damage or rounds of attacks I roll four. I break it down, more attacks going to the frontliners and the backliners. And I just roll them all in a dice roller to save time so I don't roll 60 million die. And we see how many hit. And then I resolve damage after that with a flat damage check for each.
Rude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Quite.
Do better.
Rude, and I hate it. Oh, my God. Okay, so...
I told you you would. I told you you would.
Can we assume that we've kind of got things mostly under control here?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, you're looking around. At this point, there are some people funneling from the city, guards and physicians moving in. Not as many as you think there could be. Perhaps hold up somewhere else, but people are coming to help.
Blanche would ask either one of the physicians or one of the guards, you know, somebody... Are resources spread thin? Did anything happen anywhere else in the city? Are there other guards and physicians responding to other emergencies at the same time?
There's a kind of a moment like that makes it easier, and there's a blink, kind of an unsure, and then this figure looks to Kunanjun, who speak openly. We have to know.
There's some reports of an attack in the Park of the Elders, as well as in the palace. I mean, sorry, an incident happened both.
It's okay. It's okay.
Is anyone injured in the palace?
No, it went well, though. We were on guard for any incidents, you could say.
Blanche looks to Kunanjun. I know that, like, you can't really communicate a whole lot in a look, but she's looking quizzically. Which is kind of like, she's like, do you know what he's saying? Or what they're saying?
Okay, let me pull it aside. Just look, from what I've gathered, the first time there was an incident, it happened at the gates, it happened at the palace, it happened here. This time, palace again, here again, in the Park of the Elders. These spots must be significant. I just don't know why. And why was the gate not significant this time?
The Park of the Elders is in the Phoenix District?
It was the Phoenix District. Now it's all that's left.
What can you tell me... She's saying this to the physician that she was talking to earlier. What can you tell me of the damage at the park? Are things burnt to cinder?
No. Two slain and some strange damage to the statue. Like pieces were ripped out.
Ripped? Like claw marks?
I can't say. Craters? Gashes? Huge gashes? You think back to the gate, and there was something very similar there.
Okay.
The wall of the gate had pieces essentially ripped free almost. You remember looking down and seeing stone that seemed to crumble as you looked at it.
Right.
Stone holding some strange shape that you weren't quite able to catch before it crumbled the dust.
Well, gentlemen, Jules, Magistrate, do you think we should return to the castle to investigate, or should we push forward to the tiger den?
Tiger den?
Are we
going to a tiger den? Why are we going to a tiger den?
Well, we established earlier that they were harassing the construction workers, and well, this now.
I think Jules is going to look over to, what's his name, Kunanjun?
Yeah.
Now that things are settled here, may or may not want to follow you to something you may or may not want to show somebody.
Do have some pressing business to attend to in the city.
We may not follow you.
You can follow me. Just don't pay attention to anything that happens.
We're obligated to follow.
We won't pay attention. You're obligated.
You have to follow. That's the rule. I will say, though, on the note of the tiger den, because this is, you're picking this up, Blanche. You hear this, and you're like, something went down between the two of them. There's something important here. But your mind also thinks back to your note, and it did say eight tigers, NW, northwest. You
right,
know that that den was to the north.
Yeah.
So it's like, there could be interesting things there too, but it could be either way. Yeah, I'm just basically putting out there, like, you...
All right, let's split the party. Blanche is going to go fight eight tigers alone.
Split the party! Oh, shit.
No, yeah, I in the couple seconds that we talked about it, I forgot that Kunanjun said he wanted to show us something.
Yeah.
Is that where you're going? Back to the city?
Yeah, we're going to follow Kunanjun,
yeah.
I think.
Okay. Hell yeah. You move away from here. Down the one-day street of this construction district. Leave behind pained whimpers and cries. Moving towards silence. This suffocating silence seems to fill these woods. You turn through the gate back into the city. The guards there look disturbed. And you push back into the city streets, where once again the people seem to be moving on, seem to be ignoring what has happened, putting it aside, the strangeness, the tragedy, these unfortunate incidents that just happen.
So this one happened at 12 o'clock or shortly after?
Yes.
Okay, so I don't know if it's going to happen every 3 hours, but I guess we'll at least watch the sun dial.
Pee yourself honk. Your sending stone has like a clock attachment.
Just take note of the time for us.
All right, yeah. Ow. Still kind of rubbing his arm. Where you rub dirt into it.
Do you need more dirt?
No, 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 we're good. We're good. Sorry. Not complaining. You're moving.
Us just abusing a child casually.
Past the palace. As we do. down through the lower districts where they, on the sort of upper mid tier of the city where the turtle and herring district kind of control, pushing down through them, down towards the Heitei district, which is sort of the lower shop district, closer to the gate.
So, what is a Heitei? Is it an animal?
I have no idea.
Okay, because we have like the Phoenix district, the Tiger district.
You know what? Hey, let's Google this shit.
How is it spelled?
H-A-E-T-A-E. Oh, you have to understand that I am not good at words. That's cool as fuck.
Hang on. It's a teenager named Tay.
Okay, Heiteis are known as unicorn lions.
Okay, so it is a, sure, yeah.
That is so rad. Oh, I hope this stab block for one That's of those. Cool. I'm going to pull one on my ass. That's so cool. God.
It's a weird place to pull a stab
I'm
going to
play a Heitei in the next game I'm in.
You're going to play a Heitei?
A unicorn lion is the coolest thing.
Yeah, that is pretty
cool.
I want
to die and come back as a Heitei. You move down through these streets where things are a lot more, you know, a lot more busy, a lot more bustling. You're moving through crowds and crowds. Akio staying close to you, Blanche kind of half limping as he moves by you. You turn a corner, moving away from the more popular streets and towards like me, a southern end of this district. Almost like you move to a building at the very end of this street that makes think almost like of the Ugly Coyote of this world, right? Like, it's,
let's go.
Yeah, street at the very end, our building at the very end of a street, which seems a lot less populous. You see this large and very nice looking cafe or something. There's a couple tables just outside, large sort of glass windows. You see a sign above the door, kind of bears maybe a steaming cup, and it just says, "The Tea Shop." The building looks old, like old architecture. It also looks abandoned. No lights on inside, no people mingling around the front, no movement in the windows. This is our destination.
What do you expect to find in here?
A Guishan.
Ooh!
Oh, shit!
Whoa!
That's the thing we're looking for!
Whoa!
Hold on, that's the thing we're looking for!
It is a thing you're looking for.
Learn of the Guishan. It doesn't look too important to me. Let's keep going.
Okay. I told you before that I am a spirit arbiter in training. I'm going to tell you what that means now. Spirit arbiters are us magistrates that are uniquely trained to face and appease the Guishan. They are the secret of the city, and I will tell you because I think it is my duty to inform you, because you saved my life.
Oh, yeah, we did.
And I hope you can save more lives. If this happens again, maybe this is inappropriate, wildly inappropriate, but I'm a magistrate of Yanito, and I get to decide what's best for the city. That is my job.
That is the power you hold, Kunanjun, and we will do everything in hours to see it done.
Let's proceed.
What is a Guishan?
He's like moving towards the tree as you're kind of talking. Now you're getting closer and closer.
Oh, that's a good one.
We call Yanido the City of Judgment. That is because those who have passed in this city, those who lived here, that were profoundly wronged in life by their family, they return to hold judgment over their perceived malefactors. Guishin are a symbol of private shame. We do not acknowledge them, not unless they are of our own making. It is considered a great embarrassment to have your Guishin haunting acknowledged.
That kinda sounds like what's going on here. You know, especially after what that voice said.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so the Guishin are, like you said, the secret.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have to find the secret behind the secret.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's... And what's the lie?
Yes, the Dragon Clan's lie.
This mist we've seen. Mist itself is a sign commonly attributed to Guishin. That's why people are ignoring it. Those who live here, those not of the outside, understand that this is in some ways normal, but this is also not normal at all. If this is the doing of a Guishin, this mist, this city-spanning fog that steals memories, then this Guishin is far stronger than any I've ever heard of. Now, they say the power of a Guishin is determined by three things. The time they have spent in death, dormant, and gathering power until they are triggered into action. The rage they feel at the crime held against them. And the sheer shame of the one or ones that have wronged them. And we in the city, I think we can all feel it, that the shame represented by this Guishin that steals memories, it is insurmountable, unknowable. We must ignore it. We must, he turns to you, eyes wide, because we fear it. We fear that someone we all respect, greatly, greatly respect. These words come out so hard. You can see like a throat that wants to close around them. That someone we respect could be the source of the shame. His eyes pan up towards the seat of dragons, towards the palace. And so we must carry on for Yanito. We must not question. Except people are dying. I will show you a Guishin now, so you can understand what it is I feel we are up against. This is not a powerful Guishin. Normally they don't cause harm like this. They are simply spirits that need to be appeased. They will try to trick you. They will try to embarrass you. They will try to get in your way, but so rarely do they kill like this.
This sounds like a perfect vehicle for David to, like, be mean to us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Doesn't it, though?
Just, like, mm-hmm. say mean, horrible things to our characters.
Mm-hmm.
How do you find the Guishin? How did you find this one?
I've known of this one for some time. Well, at least a week. It's been kind of... It's not causing harm as it stands because this is an abandoned place. But this tea shop, it used to be called just the tea shop. It was one of the oldest structures in the city. And they have proudly served for generations. The last owner, the last full owner, was Bi Sumin. And she so loved this shop, put everything in her life into it. She was so proud when she handed it off to her son, Bi Qinhei. And he took to gambling. When she died knowing that the shop she loved, more than anything in this world, had been torn from their family. Sold and soon to be demolished. This is a great shame. I shouldn't speak of it, but I do now.
You're doing the right thing.
This is the lair of the Guishin where it haunts. If I enter this place, invoke Bi Sumin's name, and hold her memory in heart, it will call upon her and she will appear before us. And then I can try to appease her. I have scrolls for this. You simply need to sit back and watch.
We'll watch closely and we'll learn how to, I don't want to say defeat, but appease, I guess, these Guishin.
Good. All right. Then let us proceed. The shop door, ta-ding! Opens, an old sort of rusted bell rings out across this lonely space, and you walk in and see this great open cafe. Tables lining the windows where a sad light seems to shine in. Dust covers all these surfaces. You see this grand like the back wall, like the whole I guess two most inner walls that aren't adorned by windows, you see are covered in shelves. And just like hundreds of different teacups are lining them. You see like little inscriptions written on them. And as you kind of you know, look into the dark. You have your glasses that kind of hone in a little bit on them, Blanche. You can see there are names, just different names written on every one of these cups, maybe different customers that came by and their cup was saved. You see a place that had probably been very much loved. There are probably like flowers sitting in vases on these tables that have fully just wilted and are just dead dry sticks now. Just a smell of must. Maybe like this slight sweetness, bitterness mingled with it. Tea that is spilled into the wood. The spirit of this home, this shop that will never ever quite leave it. It's a sad thing now, a shadow of what it was. And you stare into this empty, vacant space, stairs that move up to a second floor that from the outside you saw a couple windows. Maybe it's just like an apartment above it, something like that.
Does Jules have detect magic?
Ooh, do you have detect magic?
No. He has dispel.
Yeah, bummer.
Actually, hold on. You know what? Let me I'll check that.
I was looking through. I was like, I don't know. This place just feels super magical. I want to find a magical.
I want to find a magical
teacup.
I have dispel magic and I have detect thoughts. But not detect magic.
Maybe the teacup can think. It's got Beauty and the Beast teacup.
Never mind.
You step in. Majesty begins to move deeper in. What do you do? Where do you guys, do you take a seat? Do you like stand back towards the door? What's your initial move as the Magistrate kind of moves in and you see he drops down pulling scrolls off that like one large bag he carries and he starts unraveling scrolls across the floor?
I think Blanche is just looking around, kind of taking everything in, studying the room. Certainly not going to sit down. She's not going to let her guard down. Really going to follow the Magistrate's lead.
Hell yeah.
Opening cupboards and stuff maybe.
Yeah,
she's getting a little snoopy.
Yeah, peeking around, you see utensils, you see like the old bags of herbs and, you know, like tea leaves that just, again, you know, they like bitten into, like critters have like ripped into the fibers, and, you know, you see mouse droppings throughout the various cabinets. Just sad.
Open the cash drawer.
$600 gold. No, never in your life. You find a button.
I would like that.
Jim, what are you up to over here?
Hey, Jules is just meandering around, just gazing at things as he walks by. He's not too particularly interested in anything. He's every once in a while he looks back at to see if he's kind of getting ready.
Hell yeah.
To get going.
Chest is by your side. Misdirection's out.
No.
What? Come on, Jules. It's a ghost.
Chester.
What?
Jules grabs him by the scruff of the back of his neck.
Wait, yeah, wow. Jules,
fucking put it away.
Okay. Oh, it's gone. Oh, look at that. Woo. It's like one of those things where he puts his hands up and it just vanishes. It's so big.
Like
you're like, how? Akio's kind of following you, Blanche, as you open a drawer and some dust falls. It's dusty again. I hate dust.
We need to get you a mask or something.
Yes. But I am ready for what is to come. I am a proud warrior, Akita. But I hate dust.
Do you expect, Kunanjun, that this will come to violence?
No. Not. This one's been somewhat benign. We closed the shop, but there have been sounds from here. The occasional glass break, crying, but we've heard of no attacks, no assaults, nothing dangerous here. There are dangerous Guishin. There are very dangerous Guishin, but this is not one of them.
And how do you fight the dangerous ones?
He kind of looks.
What damage type are they weak to?
I mean, for a ghost, magic, right?
I would think.
I have noticed your weapons are magical.
They are.
If it comes to a battle, you'll be okay. But Bisumin is sweet. She will not. He kind of like closes his eyes, kneels down before the scroll, kind of in a, almost like a bowing posture, a prayer. Puts his hands down upon it. You see all sorts of like an inscription, probably an older language. And then he opens his eyes and raises his head and begins to speak out into this empty shop, his voice sort of echoing through the walls up the stairs. Bisumin, I call upon your memory. I call upon the joy you have brought to so many lives, to this place you have loved, and the great things you have done here. I call your name. I hold you true. Appear before me now.
so I may tell you of your greatness.
And there's silence. And then a wet step echoes.
I hate that.
From the top of the stairs. All eyes turn to the steps, which fade up into a upper story that where the hallway, sort of where the stairs vanish into, there are no windows into that room, and so it's just pure dark shadow. Steps getting louder and louder, and then you see a wet, bare foot slides at the top of them, and then another foot, a figure, limbs bent strangely, begins to slide down, moving in this unreal speed. You see a woman. You see her body seems to be drenched with an amber liquid. You see her black hair falls over her eyes, one single eye peering out, pale skin, so frail, so skinny, yet the way she moves seems to emanate with power and strength.
So this is like from the, like the Ring movie?
Yeah. Very much that's like, sort of, yeah. Imagine The Grudge, The Ring. That's it. You're on the right track. You're on the track. This figure down at the bottom of the steps stops. That one wide eye peeks out towards him, towards both of you, and back.
Be Su Min, it is okay. I only wish to...
And she opens her mouth and begins to scream. This scream erupts off the walls, and you see Kunanju just like stands up suddenly, just bolts upwards. What is this? This scream. The whole building is a shake and shake, and you see the teacups in the walls, one by one, begin to shatter and break, and begin to coalesce together, the glass moving into these swarms of swirling glass that begin to slide towards you.
No, this is... Something's wrong. This is not right. This isn't how it goes.
And with another scream, this woman begins to charge towards you all. Roll for initiative.
God damn.
All right. Not horrible. All right, Jeremy, how fast do you want Blanche to end this fight?
Really fast, please.
Yeah?
Really fast. Please.
Oh.
I'm thinking about big move here.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Blanche.
14. I should probably roll for a Keo too, huh?
Hey.
Jules.
Jules is at 7. Chester is at 12.
A Keo.
Ooh, that's just a 9.
Okay. Kanjun is sliding out of the way under a table. I'm not going to roll initiative for Kanjun because I don't feel like it. Still in training. Not good at the fighting part yet. We've done this a few times before, but it's always a strange thing we do. We're going to be doing this combat theater of the mind because I didn't think you'd get this far. Underestimated you, and we're here already. So we're kind of in this now. That's okay, because Jeremy doesn't have his computer, and my computer's garbage, and everything's bad. You know, it's really bad, though. The fact that the shards of glass... Swarms of glass shards.
Oh no.
Are going first.
Oh no.
Oh yes.
Fuck.
These glass shards sort of swarm together beside this woman. I'm going to say, paint this scene. The stairs go into the second floor, about 30 feet away from where you all stand. Kind of, I imagine, Jules, you're by the door, kind of, you know, we'll just make it easy. You're 30 feet away, one Pythagorean, you know, kind of towards the door corner. Blanche, you're in the other sort of corner where you're going through some cabinets, and sort of in the middle of all this, I think we see the good magistrate slides into the table. Akio's by your side, Blanche. Chester's by yours. Everyone's kind of in a believable spot here. This swarm... It's going to be the first one to move. And it's going to move. It's going to move towards Jules and Chester, towards the entrance. Glass sort of so they stops in the air. All like little projectiles kind of like look towards you, all pointing in your direction with their jagged edges, and begin to just fly towards you. Jules, look out! And they just come. They essentially fly into your space, Jules. Yes, and they will. They're like just enough of them where they're basically covering you, but Chester's kind of just beside them, not really kind of on the edge of this, but they are just swirling around you, trying to cut, nick into you. And I'm going to make an attack. Jules, do you have all of your hit points currently?
No.
Okay. That's actually pretty good, maybe. That's only be a 14 to hit.
That just fucking hits.
Oh, baby.
Then I get to do something. Glass begins to cut through your cloak, through your clothing. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
No.
What? Oh. What?
Oh, Stagmoon. These beautiful dice.
What?
Just rolled max on 2d4. Oh my gosh, that is going to be not crazy, but 11 points of damage. Dripping. Jules!
I hate this.
Jules! Tessa's trying to like reach out, and then he reaches a hand in, it kind of slashes, glass kind of cuts him. Ah, shit!
Jules slaps his hand away when he does that.
You surround him all around. That's my turn. These things are all around you. And we cut over to the back of the other side of the room where Blanche, sticking her nose out of a cabinet earlier. You're in. Blanche, what are you doing? How are you starting this thing off?
Man.
The Grecian's 30 feet away at the bottom of the stairs. I'll say her eyes sort of turn to you as she sort of screams, her mouth elongating way too low. That amber liquid drip, drip, dripping, and it smells of tea, strangely. Akio is by your side. And on the other side of the room, about 30 feet away towards the entrance, you know, against the wall, you see Jules is being assailed by shards of glass.
Crap. Crap, crap, crap. That kind of changes my plan, I guess, a little bit.
Ooh. I love it.
I wanted to go straight for the Grecian, but I don't want to leave Jules hanging.
You should cast Fireball on Jules and Chester.
I don't have Fireball prepared.
Damn, otherwise you would.
What I will do, though, ooh, is cast Protection from Evil and Good onto Jules.
Ooh.
Okay.
It's touch. Crap.
Gotta give him the old touch.
I guess I'm gonna have to. So, bonus action, Blade Song. So I get the extra movement. Rush to Jules. Cast Protection from Evil and Good, which I'm hoping will give this swarm disadvantage on Jules.
Okay. I like it.
Then the last 10 feet of her movement, she'll head towards the Grecian.
Oh, shit. So you just run over, reach into the glass, charge again, not going to do damage. You'll kind of slashing across your arm as you slap, touch Jules. Jules, you feel magic imbuing you with slightly a light in your being. And the glass shards around you almost seem to like push back just a little bit, still swirling, but like a few inches farther back as they seem to retract from this light. Blanche, you pull away from this and begin to move through the darkened shop towards a screaming form at the bottom of the stairs.
Akio, see to Jules' protection. I'll start on the Grecian.
Yes, Master Blanche.
And that's going to be Chester.
Okay, so.
Yeah, what you got over there?
So.
Yo.
Chester. Chester.
Chester, what are you saying? What?
who's Chester? he's going to use a bonus action.
What?
To cast Hex.
What did you say? Bonus action.
Onto the Grecian.
Okay. Whoa.
Oh, yeah. Shit. Old that's Grecian pretty cool.
Hex. Place the curse on a Grecian.
This is the first time he's used
this. Yeah, until the spell ends, you deal an extra 1d6 necrotic damage to the target whenever you hit it with an attack.
Nobody hurts Jules.
Also,
I'm a psychic!
Also, you choose one ability when you cast the spell. The target has disadvantage on these checks made with that ability.
Ooh, I think it's... Yeah, right, yeah, checks.
Yeah. If the target drops to 0 hit points before the spell ends, you can use bonus action to curse a new creature.
Now, I should note, it's this checks, that does not mean saving throws.
Correct.
Okay.
Checks, yeah.
Hell yeah.
So I guess not the greatest, but...
And still, that's still
an extra 1d6.
That's the meat and potatoes.
So,
that's great.
So he's going to cast that with a bonus action, and he's going to take his sling.
Sling?
Yep.
Oh, it's not on your page yet.
What?
The crossbow.
Oh, no, it's not. Yeah.
I gave it to you, I got to do a character sheet. No. Okay, so whatever the sling says, add a +1 to it, because it's a +1 weapon. I totally goofed this up hard.
David, get out.
I'll see myself out. So what you're going to do with this, Jeremy, what is the bonus of...
All right, so he's currently the sling is a +8 to hit.
What's the damage?
Damage is 1d4 +3.
Okay, this is going to be, instead, Chester, now that's 1d10.
So actually, or should we do the short bow?
Is that 1d10?
It's 1d6 +3.
So your weapon is a heavy crossbow now. It's a 1d10
yeah.
+4 damage.
Jesus Christ.
And plus one to whatever your two hit is. The two hits can be the same for all of those.
Yeah, so plus nine
plus
to hit.
Plus nine to hit. All right.
Yeah, he's very skilled archer. He has a plus two from just because.
So if I hit him, he has an extra 1d6.
Yeah, it's big damage.
Chester is a beast now.
Yeah, d10
if you
plus
miss,
whatever.
It could be big damage, depending on how that special power goes.
Something tells me I'm not going to miss with the 27.
Oh my god, yeah, that hits.
18 plus 9.
Oh!
Is Chester broken?
Oh! Chester spins around. Dude, Chester is in it. I love this. He's been kind of like overshadowed the entire... He was doing some good damage, but now, yo, right, misdirection,
so
pause,
an
out.
Automatic 6, or 1d6. Oh, 1d6. Fuck. Holy shit. Okay, so here's the 1d10 plus 4. That's 11.
Oh,
nice. Now let's add the 1d6.
Oh my god.
1.
Free damage, I guess.
Yeah.
Hey. 12 points. This thing just fires through. The Guishan kind of leaps, tries to almost leap out of the way of it, and it still just catches right in the leg. Really, you hit strike, and you see, like, again, amber liquid starts to pool out like around this wound. The body, the leg begins to bloat. The like very white, pale flesh is a bloat with sudden tea that's almost being like conjured behind the wound and running down the leg, dripping down the steps, splattering across the floor. Chester kind of begins to reload. Eyes dark. Hell yeah, and that is going to be
Akio. All right. Kyo's going to run up to the swarm.
Ooh, okay.
And not going to use Boofing Blade because I kind of want this thing to get out of Jules' face. So I'm just going to go for two katana attacks. That is 18 for the first. Oh, yeah. 24 on the second.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, of course. No, sorry. I was like,
I think those both hit, right?
You got it. They both hit.
And I'm going to do, let's see. Da-da-da. Ooh. 10 damage for the first.
Oh my god, Kyo!
And 9 damage for the second.
You do notice not all the damage seems to go through.
Sure, yeah. He does have a magical weapon, if that.
It does not matter
says,
in this case.
It says slashing damage on here.
Yes, yeah. A lot of times it'll say, like, resistance to non-magical. You know, but if you're bludgeoning, piercing, slashing from non-magical, this does not say that.
Sure.
So it would be all. But still, so, I mean, it's hard to get in. You're hitting, like, literally, he's striking shards of glass that are
right.
Flying around.
Yeah,
but as he
sense.
Hits them, breaks them down smaller, like, everyone he hits sort of falls out of the swarm, becoming this, like, innate piece of glass clear on the floor. And he takes out quite a few of them.
No, I'm going to save second wind for now. That's
I love
fine.
The idea that Jules is over there and you just kind of like trust this dog as he flies up to you and begins winging the sword around you. Like the bits of your hair, your pompadour sliced in half. Not really. But yeah.
No, that's too far, David.
There's a couple of loose
that's
hairs.
Hey,
off
hey,
it.
Not, the hair.
Yeah,
not the hair.
Not the hair. Not the hair.
That's a Kyo's turn.
Solid turn.
Yeah.
Slice. This blade whips around you, Jules. These teacups begin to fall away. You're feeling a little more emboldened. And you're up. Your vision is cleared now. Kyo's broken enough that you can see clearly what's around you
cool. And
what's ahead of you.
Cool. Perfect. He's going to cast... First, he's going to cast Bardic Inspiration onto Blanche.
Ooh.
Yeah. Give me that D8,
always
baby.
Slick.
And then he is going to cast level 2... Dissonant Whispers onto the Guishan.
Onto the Guishan. Okay. That's pretty mean.
Yeah, it is. Wisdom save.
All right, then. Wisdom save for me. Luckily for me, I've got a pretty high wisdom save.
I kind of figured that.
And I've got these goblin mode dice that cannot possibly fail.
Yes, they can.
What? What? 10.
No.
Oh, nice.
No.
No, my goblin mode dice. Trade.
All right, so that's 3d6 psychic damage.
Oh my god.
Wow.
And you must immediately use your reaction to move as far away as your speed allows. So let's get some damage out of
the way. I have to check one little thing.
Okay. Can I roll?
Yeah, it might be like a manta.
Yeah.
You roll damage though, please.
Okay, cool.
Please
cool.
Do. Actually, please don't. I take it back. Don't do it. It's mean.
Very minimal.
Bummer.
I rolled a 3, a 2, and a 1.
Ugh.
So, 6. Fuck. Okay.
Subprime damage.
That is pretty rough, but hey, it's not nothing. So making sure it's not fear effect. I've probably done this before, honestly, in this show, but making sure Distant Whisper is not based on fear effect, but it is not, and so the Revenant have taken this, like, hit, rubs its head. And the hair kind of parts for a second. You can see, like, the guise of this old lady, this old human woman. Eyes that may have once been gentle, but now they are just wide and crazed. And she begins to move up the steps, back, retreating back into the darkness above. She goes as far as she can move. That is her turn.
How far is that?
30 feet.
Okay, so she's 30 feet up the stairs.
Yes. Wasn't that Jules' turn?
Any else?
No.
Okay, then yes.
Okay. You said then that's her turn.
Sorry, well, that's yours. Oh, yeah. Sorry, let's remove on your turn.
Okay. I just don't want to get the order all fucky.
No, you're right, right. In fact, now it's her turn. Say that again. Now it's her turn. Cooler. Let's do this thing.
Yeah, does she move on Jules' turn or does she move on her turn?
It's a reaction on
gotcha.
Jules' turn, I believe.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it doesn't say you got to keep making saves, so I'm assuming it's a one-time thing.
Yeah, I think it's just...
Another wet thump. That figure so fast, like a spider's legs over arms, comes going down the stairs again, rolling down, hitting the bottom of the stairs where it just was. I snap open. I couldn't reach you because I moved too far away to get close. So I'm going to do something else. I was struck twice. Jules and Chester. Staghead is Jules and one is Chester. That's Jules. Hair flies up all around, a crown around this monster's head, and those eyes lock onto you, and you feel something gripping your heart. You feel enmity, you feel vengeance, a thirst, a need pulsing through your body. And as those eyes focusing on you, all you can see, Jules, they get wider and wider.
Fuck.
Your heart gripped, beating. I need you to make a wisdom saving throw.
Is this a charm, frighten, or possession?
It might be.
Is the Guishan a aberration, celestial, elemental, fey, fiend, or undead?
It might be.
Then Jules cannot be frightened, possessed, or charmed. Yes! Thanks to protection from evil.
Yes.
No! My cliffhanger! My cliffhanger!
And we'll call it
there!